Off the Ball Breakfast.
The thing Hamer always said, when I took on this Ireland gig, the one thing I could be sure about was there's going to be a bit of dog in them. Then I realised there was no dog in them.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
And it's Tuesday the 10th of June. Welcome to Off the Ball Breakfast. In American sporting parlance, he'd be known as the play caller. It's Arthur O'Dea to my right. Arthur, good morning.
Hello.
Michael Murphy, he was away for 2 years before returning to the Donegal panel. Eric Cantona served a 9-month ban before returning to Old Trafford. Michael Jordan was gone from NBA to baseball for 17 months before returning to the Chicago Bulls. But none of these comebacks are as triumphant as Adrian Barry's 6 days and four shows later. The big dog is back. Adrian, woof woof.
Six days and nice, yeah. I like it. It's a lofty ambition for the show, Colin, but thank you nevertheless for going to the effort of writing a bit of an intro.
Delighted to have you back. No, that was all caught in my head.
That sounded like a question. Delighted to have you back. Are you?
Well, yeah, I suppose. Are you delighted to be back?
I'm always delighted to be in the have the pleasure of yourself and Arthur's company.
Lovely to hear. Yes. So much from the weekend, Adrian, that... I think we covered a lot yesterday, Arthur, but there is still probably a little bit remaining from it because it was so stacked.
Mm.
But my instinct with yourself, Adrian, is to start by asking about penalties in GAA. Are you for or against the whole hurling debacle?
In most circles, this is like a controversial opinion, except for you and Owen and a few others are also on the bandwagon. I'm here for it like it's... It's brilliant. Like, there was no part of me at the end of the day. Yeah, I'd like to see them. Like, there's no part of me at the end of the day when it's going to penalties going, oh, no, I'd love to see it again. Probably had a bit of a fear. Arthur won't appreciate me saying this. Had a bit of a fear that if they were to go again, it might end up in Limerick's. I figured that Cork had a better chance of winning it there and then. I didn't think that after the first couple of penalties, but it's a good sight.
Darren Fitzgibbon missed the first one, ended up getting player of the match.
Why do penalty takers wear helmets?
I literally texted our pals who are right here.
Did you? Same question.
Gerard Gilroy, it was like they should take the helmets off for the penalties. But then it makes the goalkeeper feel even lonelier.
Well, I did a bit of digging on this one. Sources close,
bit of research.
Close to the helmets.
Journalism.
Well, there's the let me just get the actual rule. Bum, 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 bum. This is good broadcasting. Mm-hmm. The 2010 mandatory helmet rule. All players must wear a helmet with a face guard for all games, including warm-ups and penalties. And the person to whom I was inquiring had said that they were having conversations themselves amongst fellow hurling colleagues, particularly goalkeepers, and there was a strong sense that it would be an unfair advantage for the penalty taker to not have the hassle of the face guard, particularly for their eyes. But it definitely struck me. I just thought, oh, it's such an, you know.
Yeah.
They don't need them at that stage.
No, but I suppose you still have to play it in the... You have to take it in play.
Yeah, if they're saying that they've literally said in the thing, mandatory, including penalties.
But that's from 2010, you said.
Not necessary. 2010 been, mandatory...
There would have been no penalties then.
Helmet rule.
Is that reference to singular penalties?
Oh, yeah,
penalties?
Penalties within a match, I presume.
Yeah.
In which case, that would be utterly bizarre if they were to take... It's a fair point of penalty shootout, yeah? Is there a loophole there?
Anyway,
I presume if they... It says penalty, so the referee is taking that to the letter of the law.
Yeah. Ah, yeah.
It's hardly like a player went over anyway and inquired about it. I'm sure they just cracked on.
I'd love helmets off for the slow-mo replays. Was they flick it up for themselves to hit the penalty just to see the expressions on their face.
The rise.
Yeah. I was literally thinking it and I verbalised that thought on Saturday and thought, take the helmets off.
Yeah.
Get loose with it. You know, that's... And actually, one fella that we didn't probably highlight yesterday enough was Conor Lehan, who scored the second penalty for Cork, because... In the game as well, I presume you're responding there with the noise, but even in the penalty shootout, because Fitzgibbon misses, Dermot Burns just comes on, scores, Aaron Gillan scores very handsomely as well, and then Lehan nails it, and that was the penalty. And then after that, was Barry Murphy missed next. But I frankly enjoyed it. I like the idea of it all being done in one day. I think it adds to the legendary status of the occasion. I've no doubt if there was a replay, the game would be class as well, but that... That was beautifully flawed on Saturday evening. That had it all. But they were level like 17 times in the end. There was any number of wides. shooting was a bit off, and yet you still saw some unbelievable hurling, no more so than Aaron Gillan's assist.
Mm. Was there any conversation afterwards about whether Limerick practice penalties or not?
Yeah, they were asked. They were both asked about it, John Kiley and Pat Ryan, and they both said no.
Yeah.
Kiley said it's a lottery, which a lot of people would disagree with, of course. And Pat Ryan says, no, nobody really trains at all for them, except Owen Downey. Apparently he loves it, but he didn't take one.
He didn't take one.
So, no, I don't think so, because I'd say you're practicing for penalties just to take one in the game itself. But the idea of a shootout, sure, it's fairly alien to GAA still.
Well, just the quality of the Limerick penalties was so poor.
Yeah.
Like wide.
I know, it was mad seeing this, you know, one of the greatest All-Ireland winning captains ever hit a penalty like he did.
Well wide.
Yeah. But yeah, it was an alien concept to them, and I do wonder, will this change things? If they don't change it, will teams start practicing penalties? Because the back of the Irish Independent this morning, provincial final replay is on the cards for special Congress. The GAA has left open the prospect of reintroducing provincial final replays after a motion to that effect was withdrawn in February. Inevitable criticism followed. Saturday evening's Munster hurling senior final decided on a penalty shoot after 10 minutes of extra time. Integrated replays for provincial finals that had finished level after extra time was up for discussion at Congress, but the motion was withdrawn because of the risk of a defeat so heavy it would not have been possible to bring it back to the same forum for 3 years.
Mm.
Did they play the political card? They didn't think it was going to pass. They didn't bother with it. I don't know. I liked it being all said and done in one day, I have to say.
Lahan, I was watching Lahan striding around the pitch. I thought, she's just brilliant at the end. Like, he really, what a cameo.
Yeah, and for a fellow who's got so much criticism as well.
Stick.
But there was other elements of that game that we still didn't discuss. Like, Kyle Hayes' block in injury time and normal time to prevent, I think that would have been a Cork equaliser. And then even the way Pat Horgan levels the game as well. Brian Hayes jumps onto the ground and flicks the ball to him. And if he doesn't do that, Limerick win the game. There's all these tiny little bits, because what we did discuss yesterday was Nicky Quaid spinning the ball and it just goes wide. Mm. And that goes resulting 65, which Fitzgibbon nails. But there were other those
that could
other
have
little elements.
Squeaked past.
I was sure it was in. I was sure it had trickled in.
Yeah.
For a good 1 second, I would say. 1.5 seconds.
Like that,
it was
that, that 1.5 seconds that goes past, every emotion is going through a Limerick fan.
But
we
even
can hold out here, we're going to win it. Crap, it's going to the back of the net. Oh, we'll take 65. You know, I'll take a draw now.
I was looking back at it again yesterday, and the very last play of normal time, Darragh O'Donovan sidesteps Darragh Fitzgibbon, and Fitzgibbon gives up. He's just like, oh shit. Mm. And his body language is like, it's done. Mm. He's going to nail this.
It felt like it was done.
He's going to nail this. And O'Donovan puts it wide. And it was just all those moments, like, this mightn't have gone to extra time at all.
Didn't even put it wide. He dropped it well short.
He dropped that short?
Yeah, it was a shocking effort.
And then it comes out, left. They get a long range free.
And then he missed another one.
That's
thing.
The one that slips past. We're going to talk about the video.
Strange old game.
And I thought Glenn was going to score the free. What video do you want to talk about?
Kieran Shannon has a piece in the Irish Examiner this morning. Wounded Limerick will be hellbent on Fury's vengeance. The Fury's vengeance reference is... We saw on May the 18th in the Gaelic grounds how Medieval and Marcellus Wallace, they were prepared to get on Cork.
Ken is perked up there in the production box. Marcellus Wallace reference, Pulp Fiction, he's in.
Take it so that they'll be willing to go all jewels and strike down with a great vengeance and furious anger. Those who successfully attempted to destroy a seventh Munster title in a row. And there's nothing more that Limerick will now want than to prevent Cork winning even one All-Ireland in a row, which is always a great GAA expression. But anyway, it does lead into the knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone, why don't Limerick F off home? Video,
yeah.
That I don't know if people. I'm sure a lot of people.
They took that from. They took that from English Soccer. The Cork lads.
I didn't see how it was being titled, but you were suggesting pre-show that it was titled English. That Pat Ryan was leading the sing-song.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's extraordinarily.
I saw that online.
Unfair because it's just not true.
And
he appears in the bottom left corner of the video. He's there having his little drink.
Yeah.
He's smiling.
He's smiling.
What's
yeah.
going on around him? Oh, why wouldn't you? He's, you know. Spirits are high.
His smile is suggesting, these boys.
Thankfully, he disappears off screen before,
It's the video actually literally cuts off at his nose, so there's no proof.
Yeah.
If I was a solicitor now, that would be my argument. There's no proof
you
that
couldn't.
There's no proof that he sings at all.
You can't see his team, however, in the background, in full.
And he's just saying they're young lads exuberant about the whole situation. But yeah, look, they borrowed, I think what people would be appalled about mostly, they borrowed it from English Soccer.
What's the...
You know, that's usually like, why don't talk Nymphaco Vow? Is it? It's a bit like that. It's a bit of a swagger, a bit of a cockney swagger. And Cork have brought it back into the GAA world. And who knows? It could be the start of something. Who's to say that Kilkenny didn't do the same thing about Galway on Sunday night?
Because it's that culture like so much. I don't think you at all. Kilkenny weren't thinking about Galway.
Kilkenny,
you know, who's to say Kildare weren't doing that to Laois?
I love you, but you're not serious people. Is another quote that probably probably applies.
So it could have started something exuberant. But you were very offended by this age, and you didn't like it a lot.
Stop.
You didn't like it.
If anybody was offended in this room,
about 7:28, we didn't know if he was going to do the show. He was so appalled.
Is yourself. You're not happy.
No, what are your thoughts on it? You brought it up now. No, you lead it now.
You're the deepest of cuts with your host.
Absolutely not. I'm fascinated to hear what you have to say about this video. Can you describe it to people just a little bit more?
It's a sing-song. It's kind of a slightly bizarre one in that, you know, the Marty Morrissey videos that appear in
Six One
where he goes to, you know, X-County and the fans and the players sort of all gather in front of the camera. They're all
in theatre. Yes.
Right? So the cameras are here.
And it's slightly elevated. Slightly elevated.
Yeah, slightly elevated almost, like, but you get that. There's that theatre element of this is the stage and you're the audience watching that thing. And there is that element to this video, oddly. It's deep into the night. There are evidently a lot of drinks in the hand and spirits are high in Cork.
Yeah.
And the few hours earlier where they're stood in the plinth saying, listen, Limerick, you've been great champions, you know, we aspire to your greatness type stuff, suddenly exited stage left. And knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone, why don't Limerick F off home is what the chant that comes forth. Of course, this stuff happens. You don't often see it.
Bad champions.
And you don't like to see it. Not in your game.
Who said that?
You, I think. What's your
projection now around this conversation?
Agent, I'm fascinated by you as it is. I'm even more interested in you in terms of this topic. What are your overall thoughts? Why have you brought this to the agenda?
You mentioned some sort of moral compass earlier on. I would have no moral issue with it at all. The spirits are high. You've beaten one of the, if not the greatest team of all time, having been absolutely walloped out the gate by them 3 weeks previous.
16
that you'd
points.
Be a little bit high on life is absolutely understandable. But I think it might have been Arthur that raised the point about, like, who was videoing this and how the hell did it sort of reach the shelves would be the question.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, that was the next line of the show. That was the script. It was like, who is filming this and who is posting it? And you suspect it's an excited Cork fan. It's like, this is amazing. Post this up. People will love this. Not thinking of the repercussions, unless it's a Limerick spy.
I wouldn't think you're of any. Arthur, would you be in that if you were in having a pint in that pub?
Kinnerk with a hat on. Fake
that. Well, Kieran Channon brings up the point about, like, after the defeat to Limerick Cork last year, that they have the video team out on the pitch, so videoing all the fans coming onto the pitch so they could store it up and then get beaten by Cork again later in the year. But, you know, so, i.e., you know, this is the sort of stuff that helps stir the pot for Limerick. And why wouldn't you? Jeez, if you're John Kiley and Kinnark and the players, you would absolutely be putting this up in the dressing room wall. Why wouldn't you? Or you probably don't even need to. It's that high profile.
Yeah, fair enough. I suspect that Limerick players, coaches and fans alike will look at that and be like, all right.
They won't.
Whatever. You were saying to me, Adrian, there, and to all of us, it was like, how could Rob Downey have the nerve to be so sincere and authentic in his speech and praise Limerick to the high heavens, well, and then hours later sing about them like that?
Just to be
and
clear,
both instances can be true.
Just to be clear, I didn't.
The song itself.
You're summarizing a conversation that never happened.
The song itself. Well, that's what you're asking. You literally brought it up. You said he had these lovely words to say.
I said it was totally acceptable.
Lovely words to say about it, and then he'd, oh, that's good. That is good.
You missed that bit.
That is great that you said that. That you've come around.
Because
both things can be true, right? So they can have the utmost of respect for Limerick, and then they could have this little bit of high drinks in the pub or wherever they were afterwards. And, like, you know, if you're singing about that, like the opposition, there's an element and a degree of respect because they've beaten a great team. As you said yourself, Arthur, there's no way Kilkenny would sing this about Galway. There's just no way.
Well, that's the nature of the rivalry.
That would be bullying.
Well, probably.
Because they hammered them all the time.
Punching down.
You never punch down. Never punch down. And that's the moral of this story. And Cork didn't punch down.
On behalf of Limerick fans everywhere, Arthur.
Oh, no, I'm not remotely surprised it would happen. It's like, it's not that. I don't find it too egregious, to be honest with you. Like, I'm sure all these things happen all the time. I'm surprised it got out.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised, like, because you don't often see it happen. And I'm sure it happens all the time, but every county.
I know, yeah.
But you just, it's weird to see, like, it's just, if you're like, could you ever imagine, like, just, I'm trying to think of other managers, like, you're just like, I'm not casting, I would not have the slightest issue with anything that happened. But it's just so odd to see it happen. Like, I don't ever, you wouldn't see Cody in a video of a thing coming out. I'm just saying you wouldn't. Like, it's just, that's the unusual part about it. I don't know who was filming this and thinking, well, I gotta get this out there. And maybe it was an innocent share and it got published out there.
I'm telling you, it was a young person.
That's gonna
very excited.
That's why we're in the pub.
What?
Why were they in the pub?
They can drink.
That's a Cork fan who's put it into a mate's WhatsApp group where there's somebody who's not from Cork and it's got out and about.
I'd say it could have been accidental self-sabotage. Just total excitement.
Oh, Peter Ademwingi. Who was it that sent the pocket? No, Kyle Walker.
Peter Ademwingi.
Wasn't it?
Sent the, you leave Ademwingi alone. He still has to deal with that January transfer window.
Is that what you're saying? Somebody took the video and put it in their pocket. Appeared on Twitter.
I have that for you. That's Tony and Lescott when, was it Phila got relegated?
You're right.
And he posted it on his car.
He still insists to this day that was a pocket tweet. It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it's got the, I tell you what it's done, lads, it's got the YouTube crowd live. Hit us up there on YouTube, type in Off the Pod, you'll see that we're live, click into us and we'll have you straight away. So Aka says, we hate to see it in our game, people are just on their high horses about people who like football, etc., where funny chants are normal. Joseph Nash, Limerick didn't win the All-Ireland last year because of injuries, implemented the Match 23 All-Ireland final. Peter Casey, I'm trying to find related comments to this. Have their crack without insulting Limerick, says Pwell 74.
Patrick Swell, of course, very famously. Patrick Swell 74.
Yeah.
He's not having a bill.
Classless video out of Cork. They just don't know how to win. You couldn't imagine Kylie or Lone or Cody doing that. Also Pwell 74. Thomas Houlton, correction here, editorial correction. Knick-knack paddywhack is not from English soccer, was doing that on the school bus in the early 80s. Used to be about the, okay, right.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean that's where it started.
I think you could say who did set it up.
Okay, it was RUC, yeah. But
that doesn't mean it started there.
Exactly. It doesn't mean it started there, Thomas.
They invented it about the RUC.
Doesn't mean that's a creative bunch on the bus.
Is that our own Michael McCarthy?
It doesn't mean it started there. And
Thomas.
Also, I still associate it with English football. Like, they can take it on and make it their own, you know, a great cover, if you will.
Is that our own Michael McCarthy in the comments there?
I don't think it's the same one.
Limerick don't do causes. Trust
the process. It's all about the process.
Yeah.
Side eyes, by the way, to suggest sarcasm.
Stop thinking hurling and GAA is so much better than any other sport. So people, there's an element that the people who are genuinely annoyed at this video would feel that disrespect doesn't belong in this game, would you say?
This disrespect doesn't belong in this game.
For the people who were authentically irked by what happened.
Did you read I think you did, the pearl-clutching comment?
Is that
Aka?
Yeah.
Video. Nobody. Who's clutching pearls about it? Because relax, if you are like.
Well, why is it a talking point?
Because it's good. This is going to come up in the pre-match chat whenever these two teams meet again as context for the rivalry. It's another little drop in the ocean of rivalry. But and Limerick, I'm suggesting that Limerick will absolutely use this to get themselves up for the game, either up in the dressing room wall or as some sort of an underlying thing. Why wouldn't you? Like, it's such an obvious
Ireland final. What do you need to get up for? Like,
really? I think. You know, what's been described as over the last few weeks the defining hurling rivalry of this era.
There, and it'll go both ways on this, but those players and those managers have, and vice versa, hear an awful lot worse in the ground at those games.
Yeah.
And you can, I know that for a fact.
Yeah, but that's all fans. That's all noise stuff, right?
Yeah.
Whereas this is the players. Like, I think you'd be missing an opportunity to not remind players about this in the dressing room or in the week in the lead into the game. You never mind about what Robert Downey is saying about you when he's up in the plinth and all the respect he has for you. Here's the respect they have for you.
But there's an interesting thing about that, because that's what Limerick and counties like them would have traded off for years.
Yeah.
And it got them nowhere. The thing that stands out about this team is that they had no inferiority against a Cork whatsoever. So they don't care about Cork's history. They don't care about who Cork are supposed to be or whatever else. It doesn't bother them.
Yeah.
It's never bothered them. It hasn't bothered them with Tipperary. Yeah. It hasn't bothered them with Kilkenny. As far as they'll be concerned, it's like, lads, fine, have your sing-song.
I'd love to know. We'll never know, because they're never going to tell us one way or the other. But
we can
make an educated guess
at it, though. They don't tend to go off emotion like that.
Well, they have all the Limerick have all the raw ingredients. We're talking about them as being potentially the greatest team of all time. They'll probably go on to be proven that they're the greatest of all time. We'll get John Myler back on at some point over the next couple of years, and he'll have to accept that that's where we're at, right? But like, in the meantime, you know, I think those two things can totally coexist. That we don't need all this to get up for it, but equally, here's a reminder.
Do you think Jim Gavin would have been playing that to Dublin footballers if it had been Kerry or Mayo down in their low, whatever?
It's a fair point, and I suppose what I'm saying is either it gets put up in the dressing room all in whatever context that is with a video clip, or else it's just in the players' minds, you know, that Kinnerka's going around going, listen, just remember the video.
I don't think so, even in the
lead into it, it'd be wrong to say that it's not going to, that they're just going to go, ah, sure, what about it?
I don't think it'll enter their mind whatsoever. That's what I don't know. I just think, I don't know.
It's got the people going. It's nothing to do with that. Catnap, if Limerick players need a 10-second clip of drunken players celebrating to motivate them, then they have bigger problems.
They don't need that. We know that.
And we don't know if they're drunk either. You know, it was just lads enjoying themselves. C-Fox, maybe a club level with a local town rival, a team might use this, but Limerick players won't care. They know how to win and emotions don't come into it. Skill, fitness and tactics win games.
It's got people hot.
It's got people so hot out there right now.
Is there a moral outrage about it? Sorry.
I don't know. I would say genuinely, if I try to be objective for a second, I imagine there was an element of surprise / shock that the video came out so quickly after this game, and it was like, oh my God, that's how they celebrate. But my opinion of it is that it's just a bit of fun, and they have the ultimate respect for Limerick.
Let the lads have their fun. They're just enjoying themselves. This was a sign of their respect, almost, is what you'd say, Colin.
I would say if you're singing about that about a team, it means you know they're good.
The ultimate was a step up from the speech, nearly.
The moral leaders of GA, Cork Herders. We've other things as well to get sucked up. We'll get back to this, I'd say, will we? Because people are very interested in it, and I can kind of see why. So Ireland are playing tonight against Luxembourg. It's kind of hard to get real into this, like, other than exacting more revenge from the 2021 defeat at the Aviva Stadium. But there was an open training session because Hamer Hagrimsson is pretty collaborative with media. And it looks like Evan Ferguson and Troy Parrott will start up front based on what's happening in training. Killian Phillips too, who probably stole the nation's heart, who watched it, the game against Senegal on Friday night. The first lad from Kilbarrick to play for Ireland. Looks like he might start. And then maybe Liam Scales coming at centre-half for Darragh O'Shea. But what are you expecting from tonight, other than you want a kind of a decent performance to round off the summer, so we're back on the 6th of September when the World Cup qualifiers start?
A good performance, and sure, it doesn't matter if we win or not. I'd be along with Hamer on that.
What if we played? Is there a world where we can play unbelievably but not beat Luxembourg?
I think if we play unbelievably, we beat Luxembourg.
Oh yeah, it goes hand in hand. But performance and results doesn't matter.
No, I think
now you're leading into that.
That there's a scale of playing well that doesn't have to be unbelievable. I think that's what Hamer was getting at. I'd like to play well. And if the result doesn't come off the back of that, then so be it. I'm actually really enjoying Hamer, I must say. His calmness is something the nation needs. I know where I'm going with this, and I accept that. And in hindsight? It was more to do with a very specific, area that I was critical of Hamer not going to games initially. And I would
belligerently stand by that
approach. But I do enjoy his calmness, and like even at the press conference yesterday where he makes that comment about the performance and the result, he's self-aware enough to go, just don't use that as a headline. I probably didn't word that exactly as I meant to. But I can see how he'd be
don't clip that.
I know he's an element of composure, hasn't he? Mixed with a bit of charm, didn't he?
There's something about him that kind of speaks to the
Are we just saying that
Irish,
though, because it's going well? It's going well by modern standards in Irish football. They beat Bulgaria twice. They drew with the top 20 side in the world against Senegal. They probably should have won the game.
It's going as well as it has for a long time. I'm not saying it's very good, but it is what it is.
The results are so effective in judging an opinion of a sports person, isn't it? It was like, if Bulgaria had beaten us narrowly, but we had played well, if Senegal had beaten us well or whatever, we'd be saying, oh, he's not passionate enough.
I have great anticipation for Republic of Ireland matches.
Me too.
Like, even against lowly Luxembourg.
And like, we have Nathan on, and Nathan says the same thing every time. He said this is his favourite time, and I completely get that. It was like the hours in the build-up to any Ireland game, whether this be like Portugal away later on this year, we're playing the reigning nation, the champions, and the frightening squad, to like, you know, a non-event of a friendly away to Luxembourg. I'm still kind of excited about
it. I'd get the same thing about Ireland-Fiji at some point in the rugby.
Close to kick off.
Not even at this juncture.
I'm
the Republic of Ireland definitely
that's
stirs
a different
a bit of
thing, though. That's because that's a formality.
That is a fair point. That is a very fair point.
If Ireland lose to Fiji, it's a disaster.
You're running out of debate road here.
No, but I suppose what I think is I probably have more of a natural leaning to want to watch rugby.
Yeah.
But there is certainly something.
When did that start? Have you always been a rugby man?
Very Parkinson talk there.
I grew up.
Where did that start?
30 seconds away from Buccaneers Rugby Club.
Okay.
Now, wouldn't have been down there very often, but I went to college in Wales and then I lived in New Zealand for a year. And that's
right.
He's some CV, doesn't he?
I didn't know the New Zealand
part. On the rounds, man. Mm. You had a nice segue into rugby there, because as I mentioned at the very top of the show, Rory O'Connor here reporting the Irish Independent, 40,000 are expected at Croke Park for Leinster's URC final. So, organisers shifted almost 30,000 tickets on the first day of sale. And they're thinking it's going to get to 40,000. The pricing, okay? So have you seen this?
Yeah.
The price ranges from...
Heard about this?
From €22.60.
I'm reading from the paper here. These are not my personal notes.
I'm guessing the prices. No. The official prices are ranging from €22.60 for a Hill 16 ticket to €91.60 for a premium seat.
Yeah, no, not many people are paying
€91.60. No, and it appears at the moment the upper deck won't be opened.
What's Hogan Stand...
Capacity?
No, ticket.
Oh, ticket. They don't actually say here, so...
Because I'm going to go buy...
Forgive me for that.
I'm going to buy a few.
With a good bit of information overall, though, so there was just shy of 13,000 for the quarterfinal win against Scarlet, it's the Aviva. And we touched on it yesterday, there was less than 16,000. And we put that up online, social media, actually, that chat with Quinny, and like people are really invested in this no-show.
Yeah, it's not a no-show. It's not a no-show. And
there's
a narrative.
That's a fair correction.
It's not this stuff that's cropped up. This is the latest stop in the tour of let's put the boot into Leinster, right? Let's make absolutely no bones about that.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's such a non-story. If all of this was happening in the RDS...
It's not a non-story if 40,000 are going to go to the final and only 15,000 went to the semi-final in the same city.
So if they would have been potentially in the RDS for one. Go on.
Sorry, Edward Freeman here on YouTube. We can verify. We clarify this for sure. But €60 for the lower standing croaker on Saturday.
I'm going to go and buy a few of these later on. Most of them will be kids' tickets, so hopefully they won't cost me that much. But it is a non-story, I have to say. Not a non-story, but certainly not worthy of the amount of conversation that's gone on about it. It's I was looking at a Ronan Lyons tweet yesterday here. There was a lad from a Scottish lad who had, you know, selectively taken a aerial shot, must have been from the TV coverage of the game at the weekend, where you could see obviously a smattering of fans across the lower tier. A crowd like this for a semi-final, this fella says, is it time to start talking about Leinster's place in the URC? Like, this is the level we've reached. Obviously, he's being facetious, but this is the level of noise and nonsense that goes on around it. Ronan Lyons, the reason I quote him and I want to make sure that I give him the credit for it, he says, of Leinster's 7 URC knockout games at home since the competition started in 21-22, this was the third highest attendance. After two Interpros, the 23 semi-final against Munster and the 24 quarter-final against Ulster, and he points out that the average Glasgow attendance for knockout games is 6,500. This is other provinces using the opportunity to say, look at these empty stadiums. And I will say that obviously when you have, even though 15,000-20,000 is a good attendance at one of these games, obviously within those size of those grounds, it can be lost and it does affect the atmosphere. There isn't any getting away from that. That's just what it is. Like if you end up with 50,000 potentially, and I don't think that's beyond the realms of possibility this Saturday evening, that's a good attendance. It'll look a little bit sparse in Croke Park and it will affect the atmosphere. Of course it will. Mm. But I think the idea that what did you call it? At the very start, you used an expression to suggest that no shows. It's not right. Like, it's not true.
Was there any plausible alternative venue when they knew the RDS was going to be under construction other than the Aviva?
They needed a stadium that could cater for, I think off the top of my head, 15,500. So that, season so ticket holders.
Okay.
So, like, plus you can't have season ticket holders and then go to a ground that will only seat 10,000. Atala, for example, or I don't know how many what the capacity of Atala is, but it wouldn't
hold.
Would
you say it's an achievement to have got nearly 14,000 at the quarterfinal and nearly 16,000 at semifinal?
I think you're exaggerating the point to create some sort of a debate. And,
that's a good pick and time bomb there.
You couldn't call it
Leinster.
But there are a million reasons, and we've discussed them all at length over the last couple of weeks as to why the attendances are what they are. But like just saying that it's a no-show, I hate going to the using language around it, but it's just bullshit. Like, it's just not true.
I was chatting with a good friend, James Tracy, about this offer, and we'll talk about it when he's on with us later this morning, but he was making the point that the Leinster crowds before the last month or so were unbelievable throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
So it's not like general interest is waning and all.
That's not true, though. Like, what about the Northampton game? Not the Northampton game. What was the first sort
Glasgow.
Of the Glasgow game in the Champions Cup?
Yeah.
I think it was just a general feeling. It wasn't based on statistics.
And I know it's funny though, but I think I think just the homogeneity of it is the fact that when people see Leinster, they effectively see Ireland to a more or less degree in different coloured jerseys. And there's a bit of a disparity or a confusion over why you couldn't buy a Six Nations ticket for love nor money. I'm not saying it's the same. I'm not saying it's the same standard. Not
there's
saying
loads
the same
of different reasons.
But I'm just saying it's effectively the same team. More or less.
It's not, but how many players are different?
Like, there's 2-3 players difference?
Probably 4 or 5, but I'd take a point.
So, like, effectively, you could field a pretty competent Leinster team in the guise of Ireland.
Absolutely. Geordie Barrett is playing, Orgy Stein is playing.
But
like, they were players that were brought in to get bums on seats. I totally accept all that. But equally, the facts are that these are high attendances. They look poor in a giant stadium, and there's nothing Leinster can do about that. That's just where they're at. But I think equally, one would have to accept that people are looking for every single opportunity they can. It's reached peak sort of, let's put the boot in on Leinster. You know, the more they lose, the more people gloat over them and stand over the body and give it a bit of a kick, and it's unbecoming.
Yeah, I suppose, but like, you got to do something, don't you?
there is a world where Leinster could fill Croke Park.
That's the thing as well.
You think it might, are you saying they might fill it this weekend?
They've proven the ability to do that previously, so there's a world that they can do that this weekend.
Well, there's nothing gets juices going like a Leinster Munster game, and that's
true.
We've seen the evidence of that. And there,
but
look,
what's stopping
them
doing that? You know, there are more than 80,000 Leinster fans around.
It's the URC. It's not the European Cup.
Sure, they weren't coming to that either.
Huh?
They weren't coming to that either.
Well, if it was the European Cup final at Croke Park on Sunday.
Sure, that's not a business policy. It's not you're great for
there's no
the
way
Cup
fans,
final.
Right? There'll be no way fans this weekend. None. You'd never see that in sport. You know, you'd have 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 fans. If it was any club within an ass's roar of Dublin, that's what you'd have. But there just won't be this weekend. There's loads of different factors going into it. I'd say there's a bit of a, I'd use the word on advice, but a bit of a depression post the European Cup stuff, and it's gone on, and people are a bit.
The last season as well. Lions coming up, people are probably switching to that.
Admin has been and gone.
I don't know what's the ultimate point that you're saying that Leinster fans are bandwagoners who
no, not
only
Leinster fans.
I just think
Irish rugby support in general, the base is very low. The core supporter group is quite small.
And the Six Nations thing that you use is perfectly valid, other than like Six Nations is like when Miley Cyrus comes to town. Everybody wants to go. There's a bit of a bandwagon event aspect to it.
Okay. Our resident Ulster rugby fan is telling me here that the lower stand price tickets start at €55 minus resales.